The show's live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, we have some barbershopping. The Danville Barbershop Chorus will present their annual spring concert Sunday afternoon in Danville. And we have a quartet from the chorus. They call themselves Four on the Floor. They'll be singing some songs and talking about the show. And then in the later portion of the program, representing a concert called Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cécile Chaminade, will have with us soprano Carrie Walters of Bradley University. She'll talk with us a little bit about both of those composers and about Friday night's program on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. It's live and local on FM 90.9. Here is a little serenade by Cécile Chaminade. We heard a serenade by Cécile Chaminade, played by pianist Eric Parkin. And Cécile Chaminade's music will be heard on a recital Friday night at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston at the Dowden Fine Arts Center, performed by pianist Denise Parr Scanlon. And also on that recital, soprano Carrie Walters in a program called Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cécile Chaminade. And we'll have Carrie Walters with us on the later portion of Live and Local. But first, we have a different kind of singing. The Danville Barbershop Chorus is giving its spring show Sunday afternoon at the Danville Area Community College in Bremer Auditorium, 2:30 in the afternoon. And with us is a quartet that was actually here probably about a year ago or something like that, probably right in conjunction with your last show, mm-hmm. I imagine. Four on the Floor, you call yourselves. And they are Wes Bieritz, whose voice you just heard, and you would correctly guess that he is the bass. Bob Basedorfer is the lead. Mike Westfall, the baritone, and J.P. Calvin, the tenor. And thank you, gentlemen, for coming back to the show.
Welcome.
Glad we can be here.
It's nice to have repeat performers now and then. Tell us a little bit about the Danville Barbershop Chorus. How long has it been around?
Well, as far as I can remember, it's been there since I've been in town, which has been about 45 years. Before that, actually, for a year or two before that, at least, I went to the Covington chapter in Indiana, right across the border. So it's been in Danville for a little less than 45 years, and before that in Covington, I would imagine it's been there for a long time, but I don't know exact date.
Well, actually, I can debate that just a little bit. I know that the...
Oh, good. Let's have a debate.
Yeah, the show that you've referred to that takes place next Sunday is actually our 56th annual.
56th
wow.
annual.
56.
So, but it wasn't all in Danville.
Okay, I'll give you that.
There was what?
It was not always a Danville chapter.
It was a
Covington, Indiana period. Chapter for probably until about 1966, and then we moved it to Danville.
So now you're part of the Illinois District.
That's right.
And talk a little bit about, if you can, just because it's I think it's interesting, the sort of makeup of barbershop across the country is divided up into districts, not necessarily by state, but Illinois has its own district, right? And some of the other districts are cover more states.
That's right, because Illinois is pretty populated. You know, it's got 13 million people in it, so it makes one district by itself. A lot of the other districts are made up of several states, of lower population states. And I believe there are about 22 of them all together, I think that comes to mind, districts. And each one of those districts sends a competitor to the international, both quartet and chorus.
When we say international, is that really international or is that really national?
It's really international now because there are several chapters and several districts, I would point out, in foreign countries like in the Scandinavian countries and in Germany and certainly in England as well and Canada too.
So barbershopping has crossed some international boundaries.
Right.
But it started in the American South, is that right?
Well, we know you told us last time when we were here that it had been part of a Negro establishment early on in the late 1800s, and I had delved into that a little bit after you mentioned that, because I was not aware of that. But it was true that they began harmonizing four-part harmony long before the society was formed in the 1930s.
Literally in barbershops.
That's right.
Yeah, which is, so it's really quite, if anybody wondered why on earth is this kind of music called barbershop, there you go. And there were a couple of movies, comedies in the last few years called Barbershop, one of which I think I saw part of, which was pretty darn funny, but I don't recall that they did any singing.
I don't think so.
That was a different sort of, that's a different sort of culture that goes on in barbershops now, I guess. What happens in the contest world? In Illinois, there's a couple of state contests a year.
There's a district convention that they have
two times a year,
and then the quartets and choruses from those from that district compete.
And so some choruses go to one convention and some courses go to the other convention. How does that work?
Well, the way it works, I believe, is that the ones that get top billing for the quartets, at least in the fall, that's the state champion. But the ones that get the top billing in April now when they meet, those are the ones that go to the contest. Or it's the other way around. I can't remember which way it is, but it's one or the other. So, yeah, those two get-togethers, those two conventions or contests, as you might call them, determine who will go to the international and compete with the other competitors in those districts.
So, does the Danville Chorus go to one of the
conventions? We have, as a quartet and as a chapter, been there several times to compete, but we haven't lately at this point. So, much to our chagrin, we haven't been able to compete. Many of the choruses that do compete have a lot of members, and you know we have a. But barely 20, so it's kind of hard for the underlings and the small choruses to compete effectively.
It's actually a credit to you guys that, or to your community anyway, that you're still able to field a barbershop chorus. I learned in the fall when we had a quartet from the Sweet Adeline's chapter of Champaign-Urbana that the Champaign-Urbana Illini statesmen are not really functioning right now.
That's right.
Which is really, you know, here's a Champaign-Urbana is a bit larger than Danville, I think, and not fielding a chorus at the moment,
right.
Which is really sort of tragic.
Yeah.
Not least because I used to direct that chorus for a few years, and so that's really kind of sad. Any speculation why Danville is still able to field a chorus and maybe a little more trouble in Champaign? That sounds like a no.
I can't. I don't have any speculation. We do have, I think, a few dedicated individuals that to try and keep it together.
And how are you doing with recruiting younger members? I know that's a big challenge for the society overall.
That's a very difficult thing. And we do have some middle-aged people, but no young ones. That's really difficult because the type of music we sing, I think, doesn't appeal to a lot of the younger folks and appeals more to the older people with melodies and things like that. Often music these days isn't associated with good melodies, and so it doesn't fit well in the barbershop harmony.
But you know that may be changing. There may be a gap here, but if you go to competitions, there are high school categories and college categories now that are very, very competitive. So I think there's maybe a resurgence of getting younger people involved at that level. And it's going to take a while before we see chapters be replenished, I guess.
When the young people today are getting in the high school music, for instance, they may rehearse two or three times a week. Where else are they going to find time to come and be with us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had a teenager and he was rehearsing that often for his school, to be in his school choir, show choir, as they call them, I don't believe I could let him, be a barbershopper until some of that went by the wayside.
Yeah, and that's probably just one activity your kid
would
have.
Right,
and might be on a sports team or might also be in the band or in the jazz band, and then, some of those are just about every day. I had a lot of fun a few weeks ago, I guess it was, here at WILL-TV, we hosted the what we hope will be the first annual, what do we call it, the acapella beatdown with some groups from both college and high school. But, of course, that kind of acapella is more, tends to be more pop. It was an interesting variety, actually, of the different groups we had. The high school boys, you know, theirs were pretty much hip-hop songs. And there was a group from Millikan University that was, it wasn't barbershop, but it was more traditional sort of older songs. Mm-hmm. In your press release, you mentioned the chorus will feature many of your favorites, it says, like Hey, Look Me Over on the Sunny Side of the Street and As Time Goes By. And I'm willing to bet that the average 17-year-old has never heard of any of those
songs. That's a good point. Right there.
But I've heard of all those songs, and a lot of other people have heard of all those songs, and they're wonderful songs. And but it is a different kind of generation. And melody, you're right. They've got wonderful melodies and fun lyrics as well. Well, we brought you here to sing as well as talk. What would you like to try out first?
Well, we'd like to try out a song that we're going to sing in our show here come Sunday, and it's called In My Room, and I think you'll probably recognize the words and the melody when we begin to sing it. And maybe we should introduce it like that, and then we'll talk about it later.
That's fine. It's the quartet called Four on the Floor. Lead singer is Bob Baesdorfer, baritone Mike Westfall, tenor J.P. Calvin, and on the floor, so to speak, of the chords of the harmony is bass Wes Buehr. It's here on Live and Local.
There's a room where I can go and tell my secrets to. In my room, in my room. In this world I lock out all my worries and my cares. In my room, in my room, in my room.
Do my dreaming and my scheming lie awake and
Yeah, I do recognize that song, but now I can't. I can't even place. Is that the Beach Boys? That's right. There we go.
I don't know of any other Beach Boys songs been arranged for barbershop. There probably are some, but not very many, probably.
Well, that's a good example of kind of a crossover tune. You know, barbershop typically picks up on popular melodies. Usually, think of older popular melodies, and of course, by now, Beach Boys are oldies, you know, according to the current generations. But popular, you know, gets later and later, you know, what was popular when. And I guess once a song gets to be oldies, then it qualifies for barbershop arrangement, right?
Maybe that's the definition altogether there.
Well, why don't you guys have a seat just for a second? I want to ask a little bit about your voice parts. The different voices do serve different function. That was an interesting song because there was some crossover function, actually. Yes, the lead had the melody for a while, but everybody else got the tune, which is a little bit unusual. The bass is probably the most obvious. You know, he gets the low notes. But how do you determine who sings what other parts? I mean, how do you know, Bob, for example, that you're a lead singer? Or how did you get put into the lead?
That's a great question. When I first started singing barbershop with the local chorus, I sang baritone. That seemed to fit my voice range pretty well. And then this particular quartet, was losing their lead, and I guess they searched throughout the course and found me as somewhere I can get close to that range. And I guess over time I've adapted to that. So it's obviously the easiest part to sing, because 95% of the time you have the melody. There's not a lot of difficult things to learn. The guys probably think I'm a little critical at time because I think I have the opportunity to hear the chords a little bit better than what they do sometimes, just because the lead note is so obvious, and I tend to hear the others all around me, maybe even more so than they do. So,
whereas say the baritone, as I recall, was
I'm all over the place.
The hardest one to sing.
Well, it we all say I sing the notes that nobody else wants to, and it's a heavy range. Large range in every song. Like I can go up to an F above middle C and at the same time have to go down to a C below middle C in the same song.
So that it's yours is really, in normal non-barbershop singing, you have tenor one and two, high tenor, lower tenor, baritone, and then bass. And the baritone really is a baritone range fairly typically, but it can also cross over the lead range, which can be sort of a tenor range, but not necessarily.
We're actually working on a number right now. We won't sing it today because we're not quite there, but
well, you got 5 days to get it ready.
Yeah, we'll get there.
That's plenty of time.
It actually has a lot of movement, I think, by all four parts within the ranges to where there's a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. Typically, you think of four-part harmony and you move up and down together. But in this particular number we're working on, it's a lot of crossover, which makes it difficult, but it also adds kind of a unique sound to it, I think, when that happens.
So coming back to the baritone before we get to the tenor, Mike, you sang the parts, the notes nobody else wants to. Did you get pegged as a baritone because you have a particularly acute ear, or just because of the range, or what?
Basically, when I started singing barbershop, it was because of the range. And I can also switch fairly easily most of the time into a falsetto voice for the real high ranges. And that works pretty good for us. I just have to basically hit that tone. I don't have to hit it very loud. Mm-hmm. When it's very high.
And you've just done a nice little lead into the tenor part in barbershop, which is different from a high tenor in other choral singing, in that much of the time, JP, you are singing in a falsetto, right?
Yes, I am. I have a very hard time coming down to where I could do a low lead part just in my regular voice. So I get up there. I mean,
When you're not singing falsetto, what's your natural voice?
There again, that's a good question.
You just don't do it anymore, huh?
I don't do it anymore.
So how did you end up doing the tenor?
I was drafted when I was 16 into joining the barbershop chorus in 66. And the guy that took me was a tenor. He said, "You're singing this part." And that's what I've sang ever since.
And 16, a kid might naturally have a falsetto or not have any kind of a falsetto at that point.
I don't believe I sang falsetto until I probably turned about 26.
So was your voice was late changing then?
Correct.
So you had a pretty high voice for a good while, and you just stuck with it.
I stuck with it.
Well, you know, I've got a boy in my church choir who is, what has he just turned? I'm going to forget now, but I guess he's eighth grade. And his voice hasn't changed yet, but, you know, it's sort of like it's probably about to. And I think he's gotten to the point where he's a little embarrassed to still be singing high soprano because he does a very high soprano, a beautiful voice. And he says, I can't do it. Yes, you can still do the notes without a whole lot of effort, but at some point that'll change. But I've always heard that if you keep singing in that range, you can keep that range and your older voice for quite a while. I mean, did that happen to you, or you just have never discovered what your older voice, quote unquote, is?
Well, I'm only 61, so I'm It's hard
You're
to tell.
You're still working on it.
Yeah, I'm still working on an older voice.
Truth be known, JP didn't turn adult until he was 35.
And how did you know that that happened?
My wife told me.
Yeah, I think probably when you get married, you're an adult whether you want to be or not. We're talking with members, well, all four members of Four on the Floor who are doing their second stint here on Live and Local in advance of the annual spring concert by the Danville Barbershop Chorus. Of course, they're all members of that chorus. Their theme is Look Out World, Here We Come. Does that theme have any meaning other than it's a name of a song, isn't it?
Right. It's kind of a name of a song.
It's the tag name of what song?
Yeah. Hey, Look Me Over.
Hey, Look Me Over. There we go.
And that's the first song we sing. So it's a Hey, Look Me Over song. And it's predicated on the fact that we in this show sing really nothing except maybe just one song, but nothing but up tunes and quick tunes and tunes with a beat and tunes that people that attend will know the melodies to and can hum along with and probably can stomp their feet with. So that's what we try to accomplish with this particular program. That's why we think perhaps it will be enjoyable to the masses at our show that they'll be able to enjoy it.
And that's on Sunday afternoon at 2:30, Danville Area Community College.
We also have the women barbershoppers coming as our guests. They'll sing in the second half for maybe 40 minutes. And they have their own great delivery. It's a great show that they put on. They've always been perennial favorites of ours here in the Danville area. And then afterwards, we're going to sing three or four songs together, which is pretty tough to do because the ranges are so far apart. But we sing four-part barbershop harmony, both for the ladies and the men. And we are going to sing Light a Rose, which has two parts to it. You know, there's the part that the women sing in the middle, and then we fill in the first part and the last part. So that's pretty neat on Light a Rose, much as it was done in Music Man originally.
Music Man was for both men and women voices?
No, the lady who sang the solo part in the middle of Music Man was indeed just singing a solo part, and then the quartet sang the first part, the lady sang the middle part while the quartet hummed, and then the quartet and the soloist sang the third part. So that's what we're going to do. And the chorus, the Sweet Adelines are going to sing the girl's part, so to speak.
It's been so long since I saw Music Man that I didn't remember how that went.
Well, I'll tell you what, a year and a half ago, Mike and I performed in that Music Man. It had been put on by the DLO, Danville Light Opera, for the fourth time since they've been in existence. Music Man has been put on four times in Danville. I've been the part of it three times. And Mike, I think once or twice.
Just once, yeah.
And singing the quartet. That's
and I sang the quartet, yeah.
Were you in the show otherwise or just for that quartet?
Well, you know, the parts in the quartet are part and parcel of the show. They're characters in the show as well in Music Man, if you ever watch it. So They're player parts. We had
the quartet is a school board.
Yeah, we're the school. That's right. We're the school board. Yeah, and we are drastically against all these moves at this.
Of course.
This
that's the job of the school board.
Oh, yes.
to be against whatever.
It works today.
Yeah, although that's not really fair because the school boards right now, especially in Illinois, are having to make some really dreadful choices.
Tough decisions.
The ones in Champaign-Urbana, at least musically speaking, I don't know what's going on in Danville, are they're opting in favor of music, I've noticed. There was a big upcry and is that the right word? Outcry. Mm-hmm. upheaval, outcry in Champaign when there was some talk of cutting some of the younger music programs, and I guess public said, don't you dare, and they said, okay, we better not. So I certainly hope that's true in Danville and in other communities as well. Sweet Adelines, you talked about that they do a really nice show, I think. So which really says that a barbershop concert is more than just singing. There's a visual aspect to it as well and an energy.
Yes, it certainly does. And we have the same, I think, kind of theme in our songs, too. The very last song in the first half is a parody, and it's called Dangerous Dan McGrew, You maybe have never heard of that song, but
I know
Guy
correct.
Lombardo used to do it, but the parody is strictly a barbershop thing, and it's entertaining with different characters coming in and out and performing the parody. So it is a fun tune, and I hope the crowd will get a charge out of it. We do. We love to do it so much. You give these barbershoppers just a little permission, and they take a license to doing what they want, you know? So we have some great performers in that tune.
So there's a certain amount of physical shtick that happens in barbershop.
Exactly.
It's almost all shtick. Yeah. I think it's got to be funny for the audience to watch a bunch of middle-aged men performing choreography and trying to sing at the same time. And we do our best. I'm sure it's fun to watch, probably funny to watch, I guess.
Well, I remember when I was involved with the Statesman, the choreography was not the term they used. It was stage presence was the term. Is that you guys use the same term?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, yeah, which meant, sort of organized physical cut-ups. And I imagine as a quartet, you do some of that as well.
We do, yes, yeah.
It's some of your more comedic numbers.
Yes.
What do you have as your second choice for us on today's show?
Well, since we just got together here today and came in different cars, we have to decide that. But I think maybe we'll sing Bye Bye Blues, which we sang here last time. So if you'll permit, we'll do a repeat on that.
So a year later, it should be even better.
We hope so.
Have you practiced, once or twice since then?
Yeah.
Always in different areas.
It's the Quartet Four on the Floor from the Danville Barbershop Chorus, who are giving their spring concert Sunday afternoon at 2:30.
We're saying bye.
Bye, bye.
We're saying bye.
Bye, bye. Bye, bye to all your
saying bye-bye blues,
bye-bye blues. Bells ring, birds sing, sun is shining, no more pining, just we two
all together,
smiling through
cloudy weather.
Don't sigh, don't cry, stop your moping, keep on hoping. The two of us together, just me and you, will keep smiling, smiling through. So don't you sigh and don't you cry. Bye bye,
bye bye to all your blues and sorrows.
I just figured out what you guys need to do to get younger people involved.
What is that?
It's called beatboxing. You know what I mean by that?
No.
That's all the vocal percussion that all these young a cappella groups do.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. Yeah, right in the microphone. And so you got to get a fifth person.
And the rhythm section.
That's right, who can do the beatboxing, and then you'll have all the young folks running to hear barbershop. Well, I do hope there are some young folks as well as lots of other people listening to the program today, because barbershopping really can be a lot of fun, as you said. Great melodies in the songs, lots of up-tempo things that you're going to do in your show in particular. And and anybody who likes to sing and just likes to get together and enjoy a hobby and enjoy some good socialization, that's at least half the reason to be in barbershopping.
There's no doubt about that, because if you have a seriously bad day, coming to barbershop and singing and being with your friends and just letting it out, so to speak, is therapy in itself. And I don't know of many barbershoppers that are really mentally ill, do you?
JP has his hand up. Yeah. At least they may be mentally ill for the rest of the week, but not at barbershop night, right? You can't sing a song that you just sang and then not smile through it. I mean, if you can, then you're a real mope, and you should probably you need even more as therapy.
You're going to have a stage presence problem, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, four on the floor representing the Danville Barbershop Chorus and the Danville Chapter of Sweet Adelines, both of whom are performing on the chorus's spring concert Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Hey, it is spring now, isn't it?
It is.
It's the 24th by a few days, yeah. Danville Area Community College's Bramer Auditorium, 2:30. If you'd like tickets, you can get them from any barbershop or if you happen to know one. Of course, there's only 20 of you, plus the Sweet Adelines probably are selling tickets. Mm-hmm. But you can also call, write this down, 217-443-0284. There's two other phone numbers, but I'm not going to give those to you. 217-443-0284. Or there is a website for the Danville Barbershop Chorus. I had to Google it to find it. But you can do that as well, or just show up at the Danville Area Community College Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Kevin, once again.
And have a great show. Wes Bierit's the bass, Bob Baser for the lead, Mike Westfall the baritone, J.P. Calvin the tenor. Next up on Live and Local, we have two women who are going to be presenting a very different kind of program called Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cecile Chaminade at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, Friday night. Carrie Walters is a soprano, pianist is Denise Parr-Scanlon, and Carrie will be with me in just a few moments. Here is a song by Clara Schumann on Live and Local. A song called Liebst du Schönheit. If you love for beauty, do not love me. Love the sun with her golden hair. If you love for youth, do not love me. Love the spring, which is young each year. If you love for riches, do not love me. Love the mermaid with her shining pearls. If you love for love, oh yes, love me. Love me forever, for I'll always love you. It's a song by Clara Schumann, sung here by soprano Barbara Bonney with pianist Vladimir Ashkenazi. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Carrie Walters, who teaches in the voice department at Bradley University in Peoria, and she is going to be joining forces with Denise Parr-Scanlon of West Texas A&M University for a lecture recital, if that's the right terminology, Friday night at Dowden Fine Arts Center in the Recital Hall on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. They're calling the program Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cecile Chaminade. Carrie Walters is on the phone with me now from Bradley. Thanks very much for joining us for the show.
Oh, just happy to be here, Kevin.
Have I characterized everything correctly so far?
Yes, you've hit the nail right on the head.
And how do you know Denise Parr-Scanlon?
Well, we teach together, actually, in a summer program, Lutheran Summer Music Academy and Festival. We've been working together for about 4 years now, so it's been a wonderful collaboration.
So you met at that festival?
We did.
And how did you come up with the idea of this particular program?
Actually, the first summer that Denise was at Lutheran Summer Music with us, she played this beautiful piano piece called Autumn by Cecile Chaminade. And I'm always looking for new repertoire for my students, and I had discovered a few songs by Chaminade in previous years, and I showed them to her and showed her some Clara Schumann pieces, and she knew some Schumann piano pieces, and the idea was born from that.
You know, Chaminade was the composer that I used to know only because of one piece, which was her flute concertino.
Concertino, yeah.
Yeah, which just about every decent high school flutist learns.
Absolutely.
And probably competes on, and it's a nice piece.
I've heard it many times.
Yeah. And since working here at WILL, discovered, you know, a lot of her piano music in particular. What can you tell us about her?
Well, she was an interesting woman. She was actually quite popular in the United States in the early part of the 20th century. Around 1908 was her really big trip to the United States. And she was so popular, she had a soap named after her.
Seriously? First or last name?
It was Chaminade. Yeah, I think it was her last name. And it had her portrait on it, or her signature. Maybe it was her signature. And a few little bars of music. She had her own perfume, and so she was very popular. She was a little bit avant-garde, just personally. She was a vegetarian. She was into spiritualism. She married very late in her life. She married in her early 40s, and it was a marriage of convenience. She set down rules for her publisher husband, and he actually only lived, he was quite a bit older than she was, and he only lived about 5 years into the marriage, and then he passed away. But she was really quite the savvy businesswoman, and she wrote most of her music for her performing. I mean, concert pianist was really her primary objective, I think, and so she wrote a lot of this music for her followers, and so she could play it on her recitals. I'm not sure if you're aware of the Chaminade clubs that sprang up as a result of her trip here to the United States. And I actually Googled Chaminade clubs when I was researching all of this, and they are actually still in existence here in the United States today.
No kidding.
Like the amateur musical club.
So they're not necessarily devoted to her. That's just a name at this point.
Right. Well, at this point, it's just a name, right? I think initially her songs and piano pieces were so popular they were even published in Ladies Home Journal with instructions from Cecile on how to play them, and she even had a graded song list of her songs: a first level song, a second level song, and third, and so on. So it's kind of interesting. She was on her own most of the time, and so this is the way she earned her living, to pay her way through life.
You said 1908 was her breakout year in the United States. Did she spend a lot of time here after that?
Back and forth a couple of times on different concert tours is my understanding. You know, her music really did not change with the times. If you look at when she lived, I think it was 1857 to 1944. We're talking about the time of 1857, Madame Bovary was the big novel. And in 1944, Camus the Stranger had already been published for 2 years. So quite a shift in societal norms and music. Debussy and Ravel and Stravinsky came on the scene. And as a result, her music declined in popularity because of these new ideas. However, she did not change with the times, and so her music fell out of favor as a result.
And it's been in the last, 20 years probably been having a resurgence, it seems.
Yes, you can actually find volumes of her songs in actually two different keys, low and high, which is wonderful for anybody who wants to sing them.
You're listening to a conversation between myself, Kevin Kelly, and Carrie Walters, who is a soprano at Bradley University, teaches there. She'll be joined by pianist Denise Parr-Scanlon for a concert called Girls' Night Out, The Music of Clara Schumann and Cecile Chaminade at Eastern Illinois University Friday night at 7:30. And unfortunately, we don't at our station seem to have any of Cecile Chaminade's songs, but here is one of her popular piano pieces, one that Carrie mentioned. It's called Autumn from Six Concert Etudes, played here by pianist Eric Parkin.
Thank you.
That was pianist Eric Parkin playing a piece called Autumn from six concert etudes by Cécile Chaminade here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we'll continue with our conversation in just a moment with Carrie Walters, who is the soprano joining pianist Denise Parr-Scanlon to perform music by Chaminade and Clara Schumann in a concert called Girls' Night Out, Friday night at 7:30 in the Recital Hall at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston on the campus of Eastern Illinois University, here on Live and Local. Programs today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting What It Is, featuring Mavis Staples, Booker T, and J.J. Gray on March 30th. More information on this and other events can be found at krannertcenter.com. Coming up at 1 o'clock, I'll have a weather forecast for you at 101 News Headlines. And at 106, Jeff Esworthy is back with more classical music for you. And I'll have a calendar for you before the top of the hour as well. And how about Clara Schumann's music?
Well, Clara Schumann was sort of in a different situation. And her songs, she only wrote about 30 songs. And they were written as gifts for people close to her for special occasions. I will say that most of them were given to Robert as gifts for birthdays, Christmas, that kind of thing. Her music is similar in many ways to Robert's. I'm sure they influenced each other. He was a big supporter of her composing. She was not a confident composer, however. It was at a time, as you know, that women were not encouraged to do things that were normally relegated to a man's world. But if you listen to the songs, they're just really gorgeous pieces. Her piano pieces, you know, she was really the first female superstar of the solo piano concert stage. She was more popular in her lifetime than her husband was. And she continued to concertize late into her life. I think she lived to be about 76 or 78. And of course, you know, we all know the stories of her relationship with Brahms and what was really going on there and just what a wonderful supporter he was for her family when Robert was institutionalized.
And lots of speculation about what did or didn't go on after that.
Yeah, we have some notes from some of the letters that the two wrote to each other that I think are very poignant descriptions of their friendship that Denise reads that are very, very informative, I think, yeah.
So, referring to Denise reading, I mentioned at the outset that I think you build this as a lecture recital or a talk recital.
It is. And I like to call it a talk recital because lecture gives that connotation of, oh, this is going to be very academic.
Yeah.
But I think that we have really, we've worked very hard on our script, so to speak, to make it interesting and to bring to light some things that the average listener would want to know about the music and how it was written or how it came to be written. So I think it's a very enjoyable experience. I know we had a great audience last night of a lot of different kinds of people from different walks of life, and everyone really appreciated hearing about these two women and their music.
And where did you perform last night?
Here at Bradley in Dingledine Music Center. Yeah, so it was a very, I was excited to do it, and it went very well, so.
And was this the first time for this program, or have you been giving this for a while?
It is. No, last night was the premiere, and then we have another performance tonight at Eureka College. So we're trying to get some mileage out of this program, and then I'll go to Texas in the fall, and we'll do it at three or four places there.
And for anyone just tuning in, reminding you or letting you know for the first time that you're listening to Live and Local, and my guest is Carrie Walters, who is a soprano and teaches at Bradley University in Peoria. She and pianist Denise Parr-Scanlon of West Texas A&M University are going to be performing their recital called Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cécile Chaminade at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston Friday night at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in the Recital Hall there. Concert starts at 7:30. So the talk part includes I gather, some letters and what other kinds of things?
A little bit of biographical information in terms of Clara's upbringing. It's very important to know a little bit about her relationship with her father, and then, of course, with her husband and with Brahms. And then for Cecile, it's a lot about her life on the road, and then we also talk about the music in particular. Not in great academic detail, but just to give you a sense of what you're going to hear. So I think it will be a very enjoyable program for anyone who enjoys listening to beautiful music.
And folks will be hearing not only a number of songs of both composers, but also some solo piano music of both.
That's correct. And Denise will give a little bit of information about those piano pieces.
You're not going to make any attempt to impersonate these ladies, though.
Well, I will say that last night we had a beautifully set stage with a couple of nice chairs and table and flowers and goblets for water, and it sort of had that sense of being a little bit old world. But no, we're not going to costume and do all of that. That's a good idea, but when you're taking something on the road, sometimes that becomes a little bit cumbersome.
Well, you could just start running around in a tour bus.
Oh. Sounds good. When do we leave?
And carrying your own piano and and all the props and everything like that.
Oh, with a full-time job of teaching, you know, you've got to do what you can do.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you and meet you this way, and hope we can do it some other way at some point.
Well, Kevin, it's been my pleasure. I really appreciate this. And we're really looking forward to this celebration of music by these two wonderful composers.
Well, and they are that. I mean, certainly Clara Schumann, probably the more neglected,
yes.
It seems. Chaminade has, you know, you can find more of her recorded music a little more easily right now.
Yes.
But both of them wonderful composers, as you say. Girls' Night Out, the music of Clara Schumann and Cecile Chaminade with soprano Carrie Walters and pianist Denise Parr-Scanlon. It's going to be Friday night in the recital hall of the Dowden Fine Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston. Starts at 7:30, and if you'd like more information, you can go to the website, which is eiu.edu/Doudna, spelled D-O-U-D-N-A, or just Google Doudna Fine Arts Center, and it will show up. Thanks again, and best of luck with the concertizing.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Carrie Walters of Bradley University will join pianist Denise Parr-Scanlon on that recital. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. And having said that Cecile Chaminade's music is perhaps more accessible in recording, unfortunately we don't have any of her songs. So here is another by Clara Schumann. Once again, we'll hear soprano Barbara Bonney with pianist Vladimir Ashkenazy. This is one of the songs that will be on that recital. Er ist gekommen in Sturm und Regen. He came in storm and rain. My heart greeted him with anxious beating. How could I foresee that his path would join with mine? Music by Clara Schumann, soprano Barbara Bonney with pianist Vladimir Ashkenazy on Live and Local on FM 90.9.